Blog Talk Radio.
You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about, is the Pacquiao-Spence fight already in trouble? You know, Habib, I don't know, but it seems like Pacquiao's always got some kind of legal issue going on. I don't know if it's just me or he always seems to have some type of legal issue. So, you know, look, man, we'll tell you about it. We'll tell you about that. But first, let's get started with ESPN. Two big fights last night, two big fights. ESPN, we're going to start out with that. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Masayoshi Nakatani, 12 rounds, lightweights. Vasyl Lomachenko wins via TKO here in the ninth round over Nakatani. I was kind of surprised with this fight. I thought, you know, it could have went either way in the sense that I could see Nakatani putting up a big fight, but Loma, you can also see what happened also. Loma was just heads and tails above Nakatani in skill here. I think the angles bothered him. I don't think that Loma is like a particularly devastating puncher. But look, man, Nakatani's eye was shut. He was beat up. He was frustrated. He was getting hit in the body. He was getting hit in the face. He was getting frustrated by Lomachenko. You know, in Nakatani, when I was watching him, Beeb, I thought, you know, he should throw that jab out there because he's got that big, just telephone pole jab, you know. And then, you know, he's throwing that right hand, you know, when he comes in, he's got to wait till Lomachenko comes in to throw that right hand. Lomachenko just nullifies everything you do, you know. I mean, he really does. Nakatani was in there trying. He was just outclassed, man. Nothing much he could do. The fight was stopped at the ninth round. After the fight, Loma said he's waiting for the rematch with Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Sr. said that they're going to make that fight happen after he fights in October or September, I guess now it's looking like, I guess, against Kambosos. Beeb, is this a rematch you want to see? I mean,
100%. Why not?
You think so?
After that performance from Lomachenko?
He looked good.
Yeah, he looked good. The big thing I thought with Lomachenko and D-Style, he was right on the money with this. He thought the fight would be one-sided. He didn't see a way Nakatani would do well in this fight. And I made a comment about the left shoulder. I was concerned about it. And when you have an aggressive fighter who's coming at you, a way to fend him off is with the jab. And D-Style said, well, he's not really going to need the jab. He used the jab in spots, but the big thing that he was able to do was he had that foot feint that he was doing a lot with that lead foot.
Yeah.
He would step and lean to his right, and as he stepped and leaned to his right, he would freeze Nakatani. And then he just exploded and stepped in with the left hand. So he was throwing a ton of lead lefts. He fought a little bit more uncharacteristic than I'm used to seeing him fight.
Right.
You know, because he's more of a methodical guy. But right from the jump, he was aggressive. He started fast. He made it a concerted effort to say to himself, I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to get this guy out of here. And every time he hit Nakatani with that left hand, Nakatani had that look on his face like, what did I just get hit with? Because you made a statement that Lomachenko's not a big puncher. But he's a very sharp puncher, and he has that element of surprise to that punch because it's hard for his opponents to time it and gauge it and just get a feel for when that's coming out. He did a phenomenal job with the feints, did a phenomenal job even with the right hook. So he would throw that, you know, he would do the feint, freeze and then just jump, like have him like leaning to one side and boom, came in with that left hand because he was selling the jab, but he didn't throw the jab. He would just get a little faint like this, like drop down to his right, like he was going to throw the jab, and then he just snuck in the left hand and he threw it straight as an arrow, very explosive with it. And every time he landed that shot, he hurt Nakatani. And once he hurt Nakatani with the left hand, then he stepped in, and then he was throwing the right hook, shortening up the right hook, coming back with the sweeping left hand. So he really fought aggressive last night and was putting his shots together. And another statement that was made was because Nakatani has taken some shots in his career, particularly against Lopez and particularly against Verdejo, the question was, you know, how long can he be durable like this if he's going to be continuously taking shots? At some point, there's going to those cracks in the chandelier are going to cause that chandelier to shatter. So could that have been the case last night? Could it have been, him just taking too many shots and eventually, just like Margarito against Shane Mosley, eventually the durability starts to fade, right? Starts to wear out a little bit, right? So I was totally impressed with Lomachenko last night. I thought it would be a tough fight. I thought it was a fight that he could possibly lose.
Yeah.
But he answered a lot of questions. He came back strong. And, I think based off of what he did last night, he most definitely deserves a rematch with Teofimo Lopez. I think it's the biggest money fight for Teofimo Lopez. Arguably, it's the biggest money fight in the lightweight division, outside of probably Loma and Tank. That's another awesome matchup. I would love to see Loma and Tank also. Whether or not we'll get to see that is another question. But Lomachenko, like D-Style said, he didn't really have – he did throw his jab in spots, but I think the big story was – he would faint his way in, and that was giving his way, that was allowing him to have his entry into the pocket by freezing Nakatani, and then selling him that jab with the feint, and then shooting the left hand down there, and out and off the left hand, he was able to slide in and come back with the short right hook on the inside. He's just putting the shots together very well. So I think he preserved that left hand that right hand a little bit, but one thing's for certain. At the end, you saw him really turn that right hook over, and that really hurt Nakatani and it really set him up for the left hand that was put the finishing touches on that fight. Nakatani, like I said, had that look on his face like every time he was getting hit, what did I just get hit with? The most dangerous thing is when you can't see the punches coming because you can't brace yourself for them. At least with Verdejo, he was able to kind of brace himself at the tail end of those shots. But he could not do that with Lomachenko because he just did not know what was coming at him and when it was coming at him. So he was at a significant deficit last night, particularly in the speed department, because Lomachenko was much faster than Verdejo. Much faster than Verdejo.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really quick with his hands and really quick with his feet.
He looked good last night. He looked good.
He looked incredible.
And the fact that he took apart Nakatani, we haven't seen that. We've seen Nakatani in some wars. We haven't seen that. And he took him completely apart. Now, a lot of people are going to rush to judgment and say, this is a brand new Loma, blah, blah, blah. Listen, we all know that combat math doesn't work. Just because he took out Nakatani like he did, and Teofimo won every round against Nakatani, but, did have some, there were some issues there. It wasn't like all, an easy, easy road. But just given those facts, though, how do we, as far as does he really have a shot against Teofimo? I think it's just a bad, after seeing the last fight, to me, it's a bad style matchup for Loma. That style is going to beat Loma 9 times out of 10.
My only problem with Teofimo Lopez is I have to, sometimes I wonder where his head's at. Seems like he lets his mind drift, lets personal issues get in the way of his boxing sometimes. And sometimes when I hear him talk and I read the tweets, sometimes I say to myself, this looks and sounds like a troubled young man. Mm-hmm. And if he has those outside issues interfering with his boxing, because he even mentioned it before saying that you know, in the Nakatani fight, he wasn't there mentally 100% because he had some outside issues.
That was that, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
With his mother.
So now, you know,
yeah.
So now he's got, seems like he's got issues. Hopefully, it seems like they've been worked out with Top Rank. But he always seems like a troubled young man to me for whatever reason. You know, he seems like a crisis-oriented person. As much as I admire him as a fighter and respect him as a fighter, I'm always concerned where, you know, where his head's at. And I hope, you know, personal problems don't interfere or derail his boxing career in any way. And plus this whole postponement thing, this Triller situation, you know, that could also have worn on his mind a little bit too, you know? So I just hope he can stay mentally focused. And, you know, I believe the rematch will happen. I believe he should take care of Kamposis. And I think the rematch should be a very entertaining fight, and I think it'll do well.
Dwayne M. asks, do you guys think that we'll ever get some kind of round-robin tournament at 135? Lopez and Loma is great, but I want a Garcia, Haney, Davis in the mix. Nope. Nope. 100% no.
No.
Slim and none, and Slim just left town. Nope.
No.
Never going to see it. Never. You know, I tell you, you know, it was watching, like, you know, said, watching that fight, again, as good as he looked like one of the best lightweights in the world, which he is. But again, I don't see anything there. I didn't see anything last night that told me that he's going to go out there and beat Teofimo this time. Nothing that I saw leading into that Teofimo fight.
Yeah.
He looked just as good.
Well, Teofimo Lopez is a very outstanding counterpuncher, right? So if he's going to step it up and take it to Teofimo Lopez, then he's going to get countered with shots. He's going to be running into shots. If he stands in the pocket with Teofimo Lopez and trades, Lopez is the heavier handed guy. You could argue he's probably the faster guy too as well. He's younger, he's fresher. You saw what happened in the 12th round. After Teofimo adjusted to that late surge from Lomachenko in the 12th round, he threw like 100 punches and landed like 50 of them and almost knocked Lomachenko out in that round.
Yeah.
Hurt him, right? And then we keep hearing about the shoulder, but what we feel to talk about is, like, a week after the fight, we found out that Teofimo Lopez had a fractured foot. Right foot, got surgery on it after the fight.
Hey, did you know? I hate to interrupt you.
He had a fucked up hand too. He had his right hand was injured.
Right.
And his foot was injured.
I don't know if you know this or not, and I don't know, like, how well known it is. But in that fight, Lomachenko had an injured shoulder. Did you hear about this?
I can't stop hearing about it.
Jesus. I mean, that is all they talked about. That was the whole broadcast last night. I didn't know anything. Antonio, my son, was watching the fight with me, and he says, we don't know anything about Nakatani. They all kept talking about Loma and his bum shoulder and everything like that. I can't deal with them guys,
but
man.
But the aggravating part about it all is, fucking Lopez had a fractured right foot, and he had to get a shot in the foot, right? And we didn't hear about the surgery till a week later.
Yeah,
they made no excuse. They made no excuses. Nope. The Lopez camp. What's worse, in my opinion, I would rather have the bum shoulder as opposed to the bum foot, because
can't move.
You're standing on your foot. That's your power foot you're pushing off of. So again. And then everyone's like, oh, well, he did a backflip at the end of the fight. Yeah, but Lomachenko was still throwing right hooks during the fight.
Yeah, too. Right.
There's such a thing called adrenaline. There's also such a thing called you can get a shot to numb pain.
That was G-Funky. You know, it said that ESPN was making all kinds of excuses for Loma. They really were. It was like a Loma love fest last night. And everything, you know, well, he lost to him, but... You know, and that's where it was. I mean, it really was. And Yayo says the same thing. It's just a big infomercial for Lomachenko. That's all it was.
There's another podcast out there that they're huge Lomachenko fans.
Mm-hmm.
And all you hear over there was, oh, well Lomachenko wasn't 100%. Neither was Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah, listen, man.
He had an injured right hand, and he had a freaking injured, and he had a fractured right foot.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, you know, and listen, I'm a Loma fan. You know, I'm a Loma fan. I'm a T.O. fan, everything like that. But the thing is, man, like, you lost that fight. I don't see anything he's going to do different. You know, he looked just as good to me against Nakatani as he did his fight before Lopez. Nothing that he does. I just think that Lopez is a bad style matchup.
And then you hear, oh, well, Lomachenko won't give away the first six rounds like he did the first. Did he wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to lose the first six rounds?
Why would he lose the first six? You know what I'm
saying?
Why
would he intentionally lose the first?
You
don't think that Teofimo Lopez surprised him because he boxed him and he didn't come at him? Didn't you think maybe Lomachenko laid back because he didn't know Teofimo Lopez was going to actually box him? Maybe he thought he was going to come in there and try and plug with him? And he threw him a curveball? The jab was like fucking
killing
him,
son.
He couldn't get off because of the jab and the right hands too.
And not to mention, I mean, Teofimo can fight. You know, he's explosive. He's dynamic too. You know, and I thought for sure that Lomachenko, I said, you know, because of the way he boxes, because of the angles he gives, he's not going to have any. He's going to beat Teofimo. He's going to have trouble, but he's going to beat Teofimo. He didn't. There wasn't anything in there that I saw from last night. I'm a big Lomachenko fan. I really am. But there's nothing that I saw from last night that he's going to be able to do. That he's going to be able to do anything different in the second Lopez.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing.
Bad matchup.
I'll tell you one thing for a fact. Lopez ain't going to bite on that feint.
No. And Lopez will use his jab a lot more than Nakatani did.
I'm about to say, he's going to stick that jab in his face like a spear.
I saw that Nakatani, when you look at that size difference, just throw, and I'm just saying, like, man, if he could just throw that jab out there, he's going to nullify a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he had problems last night.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I have no problem with the rematch. I wouldn't mind seeing the rematch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it would be a much
rematch,
more exciting
like
fight.
Matches, but, yeah, I think it could be. I think it could be a better fight than that first one.
If Loma starts fast, and tries to be aggressive like he was against Nakatani with Lopez, it's going to be a wonderful fight to watch, right?
Yeah, and Santorian is a lot of people are in favor of the rematch. You know, I'm not against it. I personally don't like rematches because we've seen the first one before. It wasn't particularly close in the sense that I think that, hey, this it could be a different outcome this time. So, you know, but I watch it. I'll watch it. If it's on pay, I'll watch it, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't care too much about that, you know.
I would look forward to the rematch. I have no problem with it.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But like I said, man, he looked good. He looked good last night. Rob Brandt against Jennebeck, and I'm going to butcher his last name because, you know, they pronounce his last name, and it's nowhere near how it's spelled. He's from Kazakhstan, and it's Alam Kanuli, and I know that's wrong, but we're just going to call him Jennebeck. So there you go. Problem solved. Jennebeck wins by TKO over Rob Brandt. The fight was stopped after eight rounds by Brandt's corner. I'll tell you what, man, I was really surprised with this one. It was one-sided. I expected Brandt to do a lot better than he did. But that being said, man, Jennebeck looks like the real deal. He boxed really well. He showed good power. He showed a lot of power, to be honest with you, man. Everything he was hitting him with was hard. It was he looks like the goods, man, but Jennebeck only has 10 pro fights, and they're talking about title shots soon. He's from Kazakhstan, and, hey, man, you know, listen, man, they like to go after it quick. I don't know, if you look at the WBO, and which is, you know, he's a Bob Arum fighter, WBO, we're Bob's organization. That's the route they're going to go after. Demetrius Andre is a champion over there, I believe, in his weight division. So, yeah, man, I don't know that he beats Andre, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he does. I think it's a lot to bite off. And I think, you know,
that's tough.
A real tough. As good of a boxer, everybody, you know, dumps all over Andre, man. But like it or not, he's a good boxer. I mean, he knows what he can do, you know.
Well,
I mean, he's a great, great boxer, man. Tough to fight those guys. It's tough to fight anybody that can lock you down defensively. And I think he can lock you down defensively. You know, where you can throw and throw and throw and you're not hitting them or you're hitting shoulders or you're hitting, you know what I mean? He's going to lock you down like that. And he's going to force you, he's basically going to force you into fighting his fight. I really believe that's what that fight's going to be.
Yeah.
You're looking at me puzzled.
Georgie's saying that I owe him a pie. Did I bet Georgie a pie on this Lomachenko fight? I don't remember.
No,
I don't remember.
Lomachenko Nakatani. I don't think anybody bet on that one.
I didn't bet him on this fight. I went to Seabrook. I had my brother put a bet in for me for Seabrook yesterday. But Georgie's saying I owe him a pie. I don't remember pie betting him.
I don't remember pie betting him. No, I don't remember any pie.
Yeah.
Bets. Nope.
There's no pie. There's no pie bet for that.
No more title shots till the rankings get updated.
Well, I mean, again, one thing we can't do in the chat is we can't make up stories. I mean, that's not really allowed. We don't allow that in the chat. We don't allow propaganda in the chat.
Propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, there was no bet. You can't say that. You can't just say people have to throw pies in their face to entertain you.
All right, so let's talk about the big Showtime pay-per-view, all right?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, right? Yeah, this was on pay-per-view. How about that? $75 for this. $75 for this. Mario Barrios versus Gervonta Tank Davis for Barrios' regular WBA junior welterweight title. He's got a WBA junior welterweight title. However, Josh Taylor is the undisputed champ, which means he's got all the belts. How this was a title fight, I have no idea. But let me give you some clarification here. Let me come full disclosure here, I guess, as they say. I did not watch the fight. I did not. I said, you know what, after that co-main fell out, J-Rock fell out, I said, I am not watching that fight. I said, if for $75, there's no way I'm watching that fight. Beeb, did you watch the fight?
I watched.
Did you pay for the fight?
You know what? I'm cured. I'm finally cured. This is the first time I have not bought a pay-per-view in my life.
It was irritating, wasn't it? It really was.
First time. All those therapy sessions paid off. I no longer have pay-per-view itis. Babe is healed. Hallelujah. You know what? I was so upset, number one, that ESPN Plus was giving me a fight for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Great fight. Lomachenko versus freaking Nakatani. Beautiful fight. And the DAZN card I found was pretty entertaining for what it was, right? It was interesting for me to see those fighters, right? The Mexican fighters on, you know, I was happy to see fighters that I normally wouldn't watch, right? And I was able to watch a card in Mexico, which was great. I enjoyed the atmosphere, seeing the atmosphere and all that. So I'm saying to myself, I'm getting two free cards that were pretty solid cards, a very good card and a pretty solid card, right? And then on top of it, someone's going to counter-program two free cards with a pay-per-view card, and then on top of it charge me $75. And then I got to pay for the Wilder pay-per-view next month, and then I got to pay for two more pay-per-views, three more pay-per-views if I want to buy Teofimo Lopez in August. So I finally said, you know what?
Enough is enough.
Up a fungal with you guys. No more.
Not all.
No, I was actually angry yesterday that they put that on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It really, really bothered me yesterday that fight was on pay-per-view and for $75. It was a good fight. It was a good fight.
$75, dude. It wasn't like it was $50, $39, $75. $75 for that fight, for that card. If we pay $75, man, we want to see definitely a good card with it. That was lousy. It really was.
So I was able to watch a good portion of the fight.
I watched a good portion of it, too. Yeah, I watched a good portion of it, too.
Yeah, I mean, we knew Barrios got off to a good start.
Yeah.
Admittedly, Tank was laying back a little bit, didn't want to be too aggressive because he didn't want to run into a big shot. He wanted to see what Barrios had in terms of the power department or whatever. And so he was staying on the outside, and Barrios was landing the long straight shots from the outside. But Tank was dealing with them well, got buzzed a few times, but was never significantly hurt. But you could tell when Tank stepped in with his explosiveness, right, and he was able to get that left hand off, he hurt Barrios. He hurt him. You could definitely tell that Tank's power came up to 140. You could definitely tell that Tank's body shots, particularly the one that ended the fight in round 11, was a vicious, devastating shot that probably would have took out anyone, right? So when Tank decided to shift gears into second and put his foot on the gas pedal, you know, his explosiveness and his power carried the day for him, you know?
Yeah.
And Tank's a much quicker guy on his feet, much quicker guy with his hands. Barrios is not the quickest guy on his feet. Got decent hand speed, but I still think even at 140, Tank is quicker in the hand speed and the foot speed department. And Tank is really good at, you know, making himself a compact target and exploding up with the jab. He gets down, fights out of that crouch, and then comes up with the jab and explodes with that jab. And he can really work off that jab and get an inside off that jab because he's a very heavy-handed guy. And once again, he has the element of surprise to his punches because he's not only a heavy-handed guy, he's also sharp, crisp as well. Like Lomachenko is sharp and crisp, right? Mm-hmm. And Tank perfectly places those. Tank is a superbly accurate puncher, and Tank is also a very good counter puncher. Tank is a well-rounded fighter. You know,
he reminds me a lot of Tyson. He really does. Just with that power, you know, he's compact. Like you said, he makes himself a compact target. He's got that power, and he can put your lights out. I mean, he really can. He can put you out, man.
Yeah.
The fact that his power carried from 130 to 140, that's a big deal. Barrios was undefeated.
Yeah, but, you know, he had some shaky fights there.
But he was undefeated. You know, I get it. I mean, but he was undefeated. Got to give him his credit. You know, he was
definitely undefeated. Definitely a solid opponent. Not the best of the best, but Barrios is a top 10 fighter.
Did anybody take Barrios to win that you know of?
A couple people, yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I was in forums, and I would see people leaving comments in chat saying, I got Barrios. Yeah.
Wow.
That guy, what's his name? Dave 408, that's on the round table on Thursdays with us sometimes, he picked Barrios.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think Barrios had much of a chance against Tank, I'll be honest, or else they wouldn't have put Tank in there. It was just one of those things, man. I tell you what, was it just me or did Tank look like he gassed in the middle rounds, like in the middle later rounds? But he looked like he caught a second win, but he looked tired at some points in that fight. And I don't know if he was just, you know, trying to conserve energy or what.
You know what I think it was? I think it was the mental pressure. I think he was thinking a little too much early on. And sometimes when you think a little bit too much early on, you use a lot of adrenaline. And then once he started just letting loose and saying, you know what, I'm just gonna be me. Then you could see how he looked more comfortable in there as the fight wore on.
Right.
He was a little nervous. You see, admittedly he was nervous because of the size difference. He wasn't sure how he was gonna be able to deal with the kid's power because he was a lot bigger than him. And even Floyd himself said, "Wow, this guy looked like a 154 pounder in there." You know, when I was
he looked very big. He looked really big.
Yeah, he was big. So solid performance from Tank. I thought it was a competitive fight. The judges had it wide. I didn't think it was as wide as the judges had it.
Everybody thought it was a close fight, man. The judges had it way wide. I mean, real wide. Like, there was no way Barrios was winning that fight, put it that way.
Yeah, you could argue Tank was up by a few if you gave him some of this. Some rounds could have gone either way. You can make an argument Tank was up by maybe 2 points or something, maybe 2 points. But for him to be up
– way up there, yeah. He was way up.
Maybe 2 or 3 point stops, but for him to be up like
five, six points on one card,
it was a little too wide.
Fight, son. They're not letting that fight go.
Yeah.
Body shot that he clipped him with, that was vicious, boy. I mean,
I felt that. So full credit to Tank. No disrespect. I'm not a big fan of these baby belts, these friggin' regular titles. I didn't think the fight should be on pay-per-view. I will say this. Tank does draw a house. Draws
16,000. 16,000 bead.
But I have a hard time envisioning more than 200,000 people buying that fight on pay-per-view last night.
No. Less than 300, for sure.
You know, when you look at a guy like Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez fighting and having 1.7 million people watching them on ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Just imagine if Tank was on Fox with Barrios. How many
it was
fans?
Better. That would have been so much better.
I would imagine at least 2 million people would have been watching that fight on Fox. At least, right? At least, and then you would have got more eyeballs on them, right? more casual fans would have been looking, would have been watching the fight, looking at him, right?
Did you see Dr. J was there? Dr. J was in the back with Tank. He went back there and met him. Yeah, he went back there and met him and everything.
Wow, they had a lot of celebrities there.
He brings out the celebrities. Is he the cash cow at that weight? At that 135?
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so.
I mean, he sells out. I mean, because Barrios, I mean, listen, man, people know who Barrios is. He's not the name, though.
Yeah, but Teofimo Lopez and Vasyl Lomachenko, they could sell out Vegas. They could sell out Madison Square Garden, too, bro.
16,000 people, B. The small, what is a small household? 12, 10 in MSG, the small room? No, the small room is like 4,000 or 5,000, I think.
Yeah, but they opened the big room up for Tio and Loma though when they fight.
Yeah, the big room holds quite a bit. But
I mean, he's definitely one of the names at lightweight. But for him for them to say he's the pay per view star, he's this, he's that, that remains to be seen. Let's see. I mean, what did the Teofimo Lopez Lomachenko fight, the first one? How many people watched that? What did they say? 4 million people tuned into that?
Something like that. But that was on ESPN, right? That was So let me ask you, what were your thoughts when you saw Floyd Mayweather poking his head in between rounds in the corner of Javante Davis? Number one, that's not allowed. Number one, the commission really should have stepped up there. They're not going to because it's Floyd. I get it. But the commission really should have stepped in there. But number two, like, I thought it was like all you're doing is adding to the pressure to your fighter because his coaches are trying to tell him what to do in between rounds. If you wanted to coach him, then you should have been his trainer and you should have came out there with him and been in camp with him and everything like that. I think that it puts his trainers in a real bad spot, you know, when he does stuff like that. It's just
if you're going to be the promoter, be the promoter. Don't be the trainer. You know, don't sit there and answer all the questions for Tank at the post fight press conference. Don't say stupid things like, "Oh, we're gonna be smarter. We're gonna fight smarter, not harder." Basically, telling everyone that you're gonna pick and choose the fights. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna take the least, you know, the path of least resistance. That's what you're insinuating.
If you're not PBC, you're not fighting Tank. Is basically what he said.
Oh, I mean, who are they gonna fight? Who's gonna fight?
Who's there?
Janis Mendez? I mean, who's he going to fight?
Right.
Friggin'
he's talking about Robert Easter next. Yeah, he's talking about
Robert Easter.
Yeah.
I'm about to say Robert Easter. Who's the other tall lightweight they got there? The guy that...
Was it Fandora? No, he's a welterweight, isn't he?
No, the other guy they got, I forget what his name is. He's another African. He's a,
I know who you're talking about, but I can't,
yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah, an African dude.
Like, I mean, yeah, like, who are you going to fight? We just prograzes with the PBC. But Regis Kroger is at 140. And then Leonard Ellerbe came out because they were talking about him and Josh Taylor fighting, Tank and Josh Taylor. And he says, let me clear this up. He says that he's not fighting at 140. That's it. He's not campaigning. He's going to go back down and wait after this is all over.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was talking to Jason on Twitter, and I thought I was telling you this offline.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Jason made a good point. Like, why not have Tank fight Mikey Garcia at 140? Because Mikey Garcia – is kind of on the, you know, he's kind of showing a little bit of slippage, I guess. He's not, you know, he's not
the same party. He's not active.
Not active. Coming off a couple, you know, he's coming off a loss. You know, he could be on the other end of his career right now. Right. That may be a good fight at 140 for Tank, right? Because Mikey Garcia's got a good Latino fan base, right? We saw what he brought to the table against Errol Spence in terms of the
I think it's a great fight. I don't think it happens, just given the fact that it's a rough fight, you know. You remember that at that award show? He was like, if you don't want to all up in the videos, Floyd Mayweather is all up in the videos.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically saying they're going to protect the guy.
Yeah, that's basically what they said, you know. So a fight against Garcia is out. A fight against Haney would never happen anyway. That's not happening. I mean, Lopez, all of them, none of them. I mean, none of them are
Floyd,
you know.
And then Floyd said, this is the ridiculous comment he made. He goes, oh, you know, we're not going to try and make another promotional company look good. We're only concerned about ourselves. What about the fighter? It's not about the promotional companies.
Concerned with yourself.
Like, why would you be concerned about the promotional companies? Why wouldn't you be concerned about your fighter's well-being?
Can you imagine?
Like, he's so narcissistic. He just doesn't get it.
Could you imagine having a fight with Floyd Mayweather? I mean, as far as like having him be your, you know, your promoter, just in that. I mean, I couldn't even imagine how much nonsense you have to go through.
I'm so proud of myself because I put my foot down last night, and I'm going to continue to put my
foot down. I did too. I'm not paying for this nonsense. I'm not paying for it.
I'm team streaming all of friggin' Tank's pay-per-views unless he's going to fight someone like a friggin' Lomachenko, a Teofimo Lopez, a Devin Haney, or a Ryan Garcia. I am never paying for a Tank pay-per-view again. I woke up. Hallelujah!
Oh,
Babe is healed!
Stop it, Babe.
Babe is healed!
What's the matter with
you? Pay-per-view-itis! I finally broke it! I broke my vice! Finally! So happy.
Ridiculous. What if it's a good undercard? Solid undercard, I'll buy. You gonna buy it if it's a solid undercard?
Robbie called me up and was trying to convince me to buy that pay-per-view last night.
Yeah, he wanted to buy it. He bought it. I know he bought it.
Just because Mrs. Herrick bought it for him, and he's trying to get me to buy it because he got it, trying to rub it in my face. There's no way I'm buying that. I don't care what Robbie says.
So would you buy it if it was a good undercard?
No. I need a good main event, too.
How dare you?
If it's a good undercard, it could be on Fox.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
How's that?
I don't think you know what you're saying right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and move ahead to the next fight, man. That's right, man. I think you kind of messed
finally,
up.
I'm finally cured,
I think there's
man.
Something wrong with you. You maybe got hit in the head or something like that. I don't know.
Robbie bought it. He's texting me saying he didn't buy it. He bought it.
He totally bought it.
He's a liar.
I know for a fact,
he's a liar. He bought it. He's texting me.
Fact, son. Fact.
But he bought it. He bought it, and he's texting me trying to cover it up.
Yep. He totally bought it.
Not
going to
work.
I know for a fact
he
bought it.
Stop lying, Robbie.
Insider info that he bought it, son.
Mrs. Herrick told me she bought it for you.
It is. On the undercard there, Erickson Lubin, the only one worth knowing, Erickson Lubin versus Jason Rosario. Lubin wins by TKO over Jason Rosario in the sixth round. I saw highlights of it. Didn't really watch the fight, but who cares? Jason Rosario wasn't winning that fight, son.
Rosario looks so dry trying to make 154 right now. And the problem is if he goes up to 160, he just doesn't have the skill set. He just can't deal with those guys. Those guys are too big, too strong, too quick for him up there, man.
Yeah.
So he's at a crossroads. He's in a dilemma right now. I thought Lubin's speed was going to be too much for him. Lubin is just a quick guy, man.
Lubin's rebounded really good from that Charlo, man.
Yeah, he just got caught with a good shot, man.
That could happen to anybody, man.
No, I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Jermell again.
I would like to see that, too. I would like to see that, too. For sure.
Yeah,
for
I would love to see that again.
All right, on the zone, Julio Cesar Martinez versus Joel Cordova, 12 rounds for Martinez's WBC flyweight title. B, what did you think of Martinez here? Martinez wins by TKO in the sixth over Joel Cordova. What did you think of Martinez here?
You know, the fight was back and forth a little bit, but, you know, as Jesse Vargas made a good point, you could see that Martinez was the heavier-handed guy. Cordova landed a couple good overhand rights, but that left hook, I believe in the sixth round, if I'm not mistaken, that was a left hook from hell, man. And you could just see Cordova was not recovered from that. They could have waved it off right then and there. He got up and tried to fight, but Martinez just jumped on him and he just blanketed him with punches. He couldn't. After trying to get up from that left hook, he didn't have his senses about him. They probably should have waved it off even before then because he couldn't defend himself. But it was a good back and forth early on. You know what I mean? Both guys were fighting in the pocket. They were exchanging. You know, Martinez got hit, like I said, with a couple good right hands. And, you know, it was an entertaining fight while it lasted. But Martinez was the heavier-handed guy, and his shots were having the greater effect. And Cordova basically got broken down, got taken out of there with the big shots.
Robert just texted me and wanted everybody to know that he did not buy the pay-per-view.
You bought it, Robbie. You bought it. The more you say you didn't buy it, the more we're going to say you did buy it.
Oh.
So stop. You bought it.
Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys. I'm very proud of both of you for not buying the pay-per-view because I didn't buy it either.
How was it? We didn't buy it, but you bought it.
Why did you buy it, Robbie?
Right.
No, I did not.
I don't understand. You're trying to get us off the pay-per-view train, and we jump off the pay-per-view train, but you're still buying the fight. You bought the fight.
No, I did not.
I got Mrs. Herrick on line one right here telling me. She's on line one right now saying she bought this pay-per-view for you.
Is that Lois or Mrs. Herrick? Are you sure?
No, Mrs. Herrick. Leave Lois out of this. She's not even involved.
She's out.
Nope.
What time do you want to
know?
I watched two very good cards yesterday.
So I'm happy with the boxing I watched, but I did not.
Did you watch the Tank card and the Loma card? Those are the two you watched.
Tank and Loma card, huh?
No, I did not. I watched Loma and I watched DAZN.
Okay.
There it is. What you think of Lomachenko, man? He looked good?
Very good. I was like Beeb. I thought Nakatani was going to give him fits, and I was very impressed I was very impressed with what Loma did. And I've got to give Eddie Hearn credit. Because during one of the interviews he gave last night, they asked him about the Canelo fight, and he said, we're going to do the fight that he wants on any platform that they want it done on. So, Beeb, it proves your point. DAZN fighters can go anywhere as long as they can make a fight.
That's true, Robbie.
So... And he stated that for the entire audience to hear last night. Eddie Hearn is going to allow his fighters to go anywhere necessary to make a fight. Why don't some of these other promoters do that? I would love to see the tournament at 135 with those four guys, but we'll never see it.
Well, who wouldn't? Yeah, everybody. No, you'll never see it,
Robbie.
Because Floyd does things smart, man. He's keeping everything in-house.
Robbie, can I ask you a question? What did you think of that Diego Pacheco guy, the super middleweight there, the 20-year-old? There's a guy, his name, watch out for this guy, Eric. His name's Diego Pacheco. He's promoted by Canelo, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like 20. Was he 20 years old, Robbie?
Yeah, he's 20 years old. I think he's 6 foot.
He's 20 years old. He's 6'4", and he fights at 168, and he's built like a brick shit house. But he's got quick hands, quick feet. He's a really good boxer.
He's going to be a star, this kid.
What do you think,
Robbie? I have a feeling, Joe, that he's eventually going to move up to heavyweight because he even looked too thin at 168. This guy is going to be able to pack some weight on and really cause some people some very interesting problems. I like the future of that kid. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, look, keep an eye out for that kid, Eric. Diego Pacheco.
All right.
Mexican 20-year-old super middleweight, young kid.
Yeah, Canelo and Eddie Reynoso have found a future star, man. I was very impressed with him last night.
Hey, guys, just real quick out there. We got a lot of people watching, man. Come on, give us a thumbs up, man. I mean, we don't ask you for money. We don't ask you for anything. Come on, man, give us a thumbs up here, man. Show us some love. You know, we're over here on a Sunday. We're going to be here on the 4th of July next Sunday, regular time. We're not moving anything. We do this for you guys, and this is how you guys pay us back. You can't even give us a thumbs up.
I wasn't finished.
I was talking to people. I'm done now. I'm turned off now. I was talking to people. You interrupted me. I'm just saying.
Calm down, Eric. Calm down. By the way, going to 135, do you ever – now, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, they are both signed with DAZN. Do you think we'll ever see those two fight? I know we probably won't see Tank and Lopez ever fight, but do you think we'll ever see Haney and Garcia fight?
No, you know what we're going to see next? Tank versus Lee Selby, pay-per-view.
Oh, my God.
You know what? And I don't even doubt it. Santiago Media, said that he's going to fight Rancis Bartholomew next. That's what he thinks. He thinks he's going to fight Rancis Bartholomew next. Bartholomew's good.
That's the guy. That's who I was thinking of, Eric. He's a tall guy, Rancis Bartholomew. That's correct.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight, but I probably won't pay for that either. I mean, Tank,
I'm not paying for it. There ain't no way I'm paying for that
Tank,
fight, man.
Tank has got
to
fight.
I think he's at 140 now, Rich, if I follow me, too.
Yeah, Tank has got to fight somebody with a big name. He's got to be able to fight a Garcia, a Haney, a Lopez.
He did. He fought Santa Cruz.
You know? I mean,
he fought Santa Cruz. Beat him.
Yeah, and
big
he
name,
destroyed
man.
Him. He destroyed him.
Yeah, it'll be a great, you know, it'll be an awesome, you know, it'll be an awesome fight. Tank versus Javier Fortuna. That'll never happen.
No, that won't.
That'll never happen.
Because wasn't Fortuna supposed to fight Garcia in July? And that fight got called off?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. No one wants to fight Fortuna.
Yeah, well,
I would love to see the Mikey Garcia fight, but that fight ain't happening.
No.
That fight's not going to happen, man.
No, it's not.
Nope.
So it was a good night
so,
of fights. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Like I said, man, I think the Tank is I like Tank a lot, man. I really do. I think just you saying that we're only going to fight people in-house, I mean, you're killing this kid, man. This kid could be a megastar.
Well, you know
but
what they're
doing. Just
you know
fighting
the,
in-house
you know
guys, you ain't got nobody for him.
You know what they're going to do, Eric? They're going to treat him the way Terrence Crawford is being treated over at Top Rank. Terrence Crawford don't have anybody to fight, and they're going to do the same thing at PBC with Ed Davis.
No, I don't know. I mean, because at least Davis is getting paid. I mean, Davis is out there with pay-per-views and everything like that. I mean, what's Crawford doing? He's sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
you know?
But Davis
was the last time
fighting,
we heard from him, you know?
Davis is fighting people that nobody wants to see. That's the problem.
Yeah, but he's getting bigger paydays, though. You know
it's your
mean?
Fault. It's your fault this is going on, because if you're going to continue to buy these pay-per-views,
buy them, Robert.
You're part of the problem.
You're part
you
got to
tell. You got to tell Mrs. Herrick, okay? Stop buying these pay-per-views.
The next pay-per-view I'm buying is July 24th, and then the next one after that is August 21st. Period.
What about the Bella Hoya pay-per-view? You buying that one?
Are
you buying Vito Belfort?
Nope.
Yeah, De La Hoya Vito Belfort?
No. I'm not going to buy Teofimo either. No.
Wow.
Eric, you know what? You know what? I'm not buying the Teofimo. I'm cured.
I'm buying
the Teofimo.
I don't care. I'm buying the Teofimo one. That's how I'm, that's
are you
how
really?
I'm living. Yep.
Are you going to pay
$300
I'm cured,
Eric. For I'm not
Triller?
You're going to buy it. Huh?
I'm cured.
$300 for Triller.
Yeah, that's
no,
where the
I'm not paying $300. I'm paying $600 for Triller because I'm getting it for 2 years, son. That's how I'm living over here. We're watching it.
Yeah, all right.
Triller.
You just throw your money away. You know, throw your money away.
Money away.
I'm
watching
Lisa
basketball and everything on Triller. Yeah. What
you think Mrs. Herrick's going to buy that one for you too, Robbie, or no?
Hell no.
She said one and done. She said all he gives is one Tank pay-per-view a year. That's it. That's it, son.
I'm very happy I didn't buy that. Thank God.
Are you gonna buy the Tio one, Eric, too?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, I got a pie.
God.
I got a pie bet on that one. I'm totally
that's why you're buying it.
You know
you
what?
Got a pie bet on
yeah, Eric, that's one pie you don't have to worry about.
I've been saying that.
I just can't see Campos winning that fight, bro.
No, I can't either. I can't even see him giving him trouble, I'll be honest with you, man. I think that, Teo's so good.
That'll be the easiest $6 million Teofimo Lopez has ever made.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy, bro.
Yeah, right? All right, Robert, we're going to get running, man. Hang on the line. And I'll... All right, man.
I will.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Georgie from Rikers.
Hey, yo! How come people got a niche up in this bitch? Three different shows. Clips from three different shows. And my mans get a niche. The only thing that brings credibility in this neck of the woods. Challenge the best for the best. And the man cannot get that respect. In the meantime, this town who has never put a motherfucking pipe in this bitch getting his dick right. If your man knows so much about boxing, after I put these three clips showing you guys that you know about the pie bed, tell them to come and get it from me. All these people out there be
talking
that
about?
They know about boxing. Take it from me. Take it from the pie king, the champ. That's what I'm saying.
He's trying to.
Now my
he's trying to brag
because
he picked a guy that was a nine. Because he picked the guy that
1200
favorite.
Yeah, he was like a minus 1200 favorite.
Ask,
like,
he was a plus 950. Lomachenko was a minus 1150. Lomachenko was a minus 1150.
Doesn't even matter. I just want to ask
like
a question.
You just picked Douglas over Tyson.
This is the third time in the row you got from me, B. Count them. The third one. Put some respect on my name. I just want to ask a question. I just want to ask one question before I'm out.
I'm asking
if there is a possibility of me being right about this pie bet. And if there is that possibility between the French.
What pie bet?
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys never had a conversation with me with a challenge beat. I give him a title shot in the Lomachenko. But in like a Nakatani fight, there are three different shows that we spoke about it. Three different shows, and you guys getting amnesia.
No.
I'm going to get the clips together tonight, and
I'm
going to send you the email.
You got to get the clip.
Did you say Nakatani? I can't imagine Beef picking Nakatani in that
Beef,
fight.
You remember the Mayweather argument that I sent you the clip? Beef, you remember the Mayweather argument that you have to apologize? Do you remember, Beef?
Yep, I do.
You don't remember that either?
I do.
You are wrong. You guys are wrong. I bring credibility to this team. Get it straight. I love you guys. I got to go. Send you the email later. Everybody support the channel.
All right.
Send the clips. I already got the legal team on it.
The legal team. What's he saying?
He's saying that I bet him a pie bet that Nakatani was going to beat Lomachenko. No, I bet $50 last night that Nakatani was going to win.
That's what I did.
Hey, I didn't bet a pie bet.
Okay, well, listen, man, not for nothing. You see Chakal? He had like a 7-fight parlay last night that he hit. Won like 13 grand. 13, son.
I got people asking me, can you give me his freaking social media so I can contact him? Like, dude, he's not going to give you guys him and I have meetings weekly, and we discuss these picks. Okay? I can show you my Facebook Messenger. We have meetings.
He bounces off everybody and then just goes and bets them. He gets like a consensus and then goes and bets.
You don't have the same pictures that I have. He tells you what he's going to do. He consults with me. That's the difference.
That's the difference. He said he was going to buy out Beef Industries.
Beef Industries just went public. Did you see what we were in the stock market yesterday?
Yeah.
We're off the charts.
Crazy Beeb on NASDAQ, BEEB. Do you guys want a new stock? BEEB on NASDAQ. That's us, Beeb Industries.
No, but yesterday we didn't talk about anything yesterday. He just went crazy.
He went nuts.
We didn't even have a meeting last week. He just bet what he wanted to bet and he went nuts.
He's on a tear that.
You know why? Because he bet.
Yeah.
He's betting that card on DAZN. All those Mexican fighters that he probably knew that I wasn't really familiar with. That's
he knows all those Mexican fighters, son.
Yeah,
and he knows like what's going on with them too. It's not like he just knows about them, like he's seen them or whatever. No, he knows what's going on.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows what's going on in training camp. Yeah, yeah, he knows.
Yep. He knows.
So we postponed our, we canceled our meeting because it was all Mexican fights that I wasn't really well versed in.
I heard he was going to fire you from there, but I don't know. I don't know what the...
Can't fire the Beef. Beef's in the union. You can't fire him.
He's got a union over there. He's going to
file a grievance. File a grievance.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go to the fights next week, July 3rd. The only fight next week. There's only one card next week. It's on Showtime. Chris Colbert versus Tugstad Niambar, 12 rounds for Colbert, WBA junior lightweight title. Now, I can't remember who was going to fight. It wasn't Tug. It was somebody else in there, and they pulled out, and then they put Tugstad in there for him. That's not exactly a step down, man. That's a solid fight.
I like Chris Colbert.
Fight. He is a really, really good fighter.
It's actually a pretty good fight next week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good – it's a super good fight. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. Michelle Rivera versus John Fernandez, 12 rounds, WBA lightweight eliminator. Another WBA special there. And then Richard Hitchens versus Darwin Price, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And that's it. That's it up until – now, when is July – let me see. The 4th is what? So on Wednesday, so I guess this will be on Wednesday. So the 4th is Sunday, so Monday is the 5th. So on Wednesday of next week, and we'll talk about it, you know, in more in depth. But on ESPN Plus, Tim Zhu versus Michael Zarafa. Yeah. Why are they having that fight on Wednesday?
Because in Australia, they have fights during the week. They actually do well, too. It's an Australian thing.
It's insane, right?
You'll be surprised how many people will watch it in Australia.
Oh, no, I believe it. It's crazy to me.
It's funny. It's weird to us, but...
But on a Wednesday. Yeah. But they did the same thing in Japan with the Inoue fight. Inoue, because it was on Thursday, wasn't it?
When Antonio Tarver fought Danny Green, Danny Green's an Australian guy, too. I remember watching that fight on a Thursday, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Weirdest thing. They fight, like, on weekdays.
Yeah.
Big over there.
CIPH Bud says Colbert versus King Tug is fire. I agree.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
It's a good fight. And, listen, man, the fact that they replaced him with Tug, you didn't do that guy any favors, man. That's for sure.
No, I don't think so.
That's a solid, solid fight. Solid fight, man. All right. Not a whole lot of news this week. Not a whole lot of news, but we'll give you what we have. Charlo and Montiel drew 379,000 viewers last week on Showtime. Beeb, that's not a outstanding number, no? It's Showtime.
I mean,
it's not Fox. It's Showtime. It's not bad, but, I don't know.
It is what it is, considering it's Showtime. Like I said, I wonder how much longer Fox is going to be dealing with PBC, though. That's the thing, because we're starting to see less and less events on Fox. So that kind of signaling to me that they may be on their way out with friggin' Fox.
Well, Fox is, they want the big fights. And they're big enough to demand it. They're bigger than Showtime. So they're
correct.
Big enough to demand the big fights. Errol Spence is going to be on Fox. You know, Pacquiao,
that
thing is going to be on Fox.
Yep.
You know, you have all of these... You know, you have they want the big fights.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't pick up the Tank Barrios fight, because it wasn't a big fight.
It wasn't a big fight.
You know, this wasn't a pay-per-view caliber. How are you going to promote that? You know what I mean? And there wasn't a lot of promotion leading into that fight either. That's the other thing, you know, you can take away from it. There wasn't a lot of, you know, not a lot of promotion leading into it. All right. And Pacquiao, speaking of the Pacquiao-Spence fight, this is from Boxing Scene. That fight may be in danger. Pac-Man apparently was hit with a breach of contract lawsuit by Paradigm Sports Management and Audi Attar, the company founder and leading sports combat sports manager, who alleges that Pacquiao was advanced $3.3 million for business arrangements that never transpired. Additionally, Attar's legal team, headed by noted boxing attorney Judd Burstein, has filed an injunction in an effort to block the Philippines' Pacquiao from entering in August 21st unified welterweight title versus WBC IBF champion Errol Spence. It seems like wherever Pacquiao goes, there's always legality. There's always legal issues. And I think he's got so many people on his team. You know what I mean? I know he's busy, but I feel like he's got way too many chefs in the kitchen. He needs to scale it down. He's got, you know, a ton of, you know, just like I said, a ton of people around him. And his entourage, everything. If he scales it down, I think he'd be much better. It'd be much better for him. That being said, I'll be honest with you. After reading this and everything like that, $3.3 million, I imagine they'll come to a settlement fairly quickly, and that fight will be on. The fact that it's going to be on Fox pay-per-view, the fact that this fight, I don't believe personally, I don't believe it's in jeopardy. I would be surprised. But, yeah, I don't. Yeah, Tony Ayo just said a PAC should just repay the $3.3 billion. I believe that's what's going to happen. They're not going to put an injunction on that fight because it has nothing to do with that fight per se. It has to do with $3.3 million.
Why would PAC have to pay it? Who put the money up?
Because they gave it to them. I guess they gave them the money. It says here,
they gave
PAC management and Adiatar.
Okay,
alleges that Pacquiao was advanced $3.3 million for business arrangements that never transpired.
Okay.
So, and I don't even know, like, what business transpired. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, what, you know, but $3.3 million, you know, when you're talking with Errol Spence and this big Fox pay-per-view is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for what you're going to be making. I think a cut of that goes to them and the fight goes off. I don't think this is by any stretch of the imagination, the fight is in jeopardy. I don't think that at all.
No. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
They'll work it out.
Speaking of which, what was it? Nonito Donaire and John Ryle Casimero was reportedly off just like 24 hours ago, and this was reported by Mike Coppinger. Or no, Lance Pugmire. This is what surprised me.
He's on the shit list now. Marcos Villegas is on the shit list now. They're all joining the shit list with friggin' Mike Coppinger now. They're all fucking up now.
You know, I tell you what, Lance Pugmire worked for the LA Times and was very credible there. You know, you could always take that to the bank. It seems that everybody that works for The Athletic, I don't know what it is, but it's like they want to race and be the first one.
Well, because now he's with friggin' Coppinger over there. It's like Coppinger and him,
right.
they do a podcast together now. He's been corrupted.
So he reported that the fight was off. 12 hours later, it was reported that the fight is not off. I saw a tweet by Memo Heredia saying that, you know, I don't know where you're getting your information from, but he's enrolled in VADA, the VADA testing or whatever. And so the fight was on. So this was something that he was just saying that, like, hey, you know, it was one of those things where he wanted to be the first to report it. Instead of letting the story unfold, instead of getting all the sides of the story, he just completely ran with it. And I'm
these
like,
guys,
what in the world? You cannot believe anything anymore.
These guys are becoming the biggest jokes of all time, all of them, all these media guys.
The Athletic is terrible. I mean, you have Coppinger over there, and now you have Tony Ayo says Coppinger is no longer at The Athletic.
Yeah, because he gets fired from every place that he's ever
Where's
at.
Where's he at now? Where's Coppinger at now?
He's probably in his freaking basement somewhere.
Stop it, babe. He's got a family. What's the matter with you? It's a holiday.
Even they're sick of him, too, from what I hear.
Oh, come on.
No one likes that guy. He's the black sheep of the family, man.
Oh, come on, Beebe.
When they have picnics and stuff, they stick him in the corner, man. They tell him to go play with his toys. Kids
horrible.
That's horrible. He's a mess. Jeez, look at him.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Look at him. He's an outcast.
Man, I didn't even know it was that bad.
Yeah.
Apparently it is. What do I know? I don't know much. You know?
It's true, man. I got to tell the truth.
Santos is cop as a family. Cop is in Tony Ayo seems to have the lowdown on him. He says, cop is in Miami. He'll make an announcement soon. What did he go into Cuba? What is he going to do? You know?
Breaking news.
Do you know about Ariel Helwani? Ariel Helwani is going to BT Sport now. He's going to be doing the play-by-play for UFC on BT Sport.
Oh, good for him, man.
Yeah, man. He left ESPN.
Good for him.
A lot of people leave in ESPN, man. I don't get it, man.
I heard their hearts are working. I'll tell you why people leave in ESPN, because they're getting too political. That's why.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're like friggin' turning into the woke crowd now. People don't want to deal with that no more. Why do you think friggin' Skip Bayless left ESPN? Same thing.
Yeah. I don't know,
they
man.
Tell you, they have too much. They have too much control over what you do over there. Like, you can't be yourself over at ESPN. A lot of people complain about that.
I kind of imagine, though, that you get paid pretty well.
Yeah, but you can get paid. You can get paid.
I mean, I would sell out for that. I mean, I would sell out for $50. That's not even here nor there.
I'd rather work for BT Sport because they give you more freedom.
BT Sport, that's a nice gig, man. Real nice gig over there, man.
And then Skip Bayless went to Fox and made more money.
Yeah. Yeah, I already make a lot of money over there. So what are you going to
do, man? ESPN's getting too political, bro.
Yeah. But that's not it. With ESPN offered Ariel 10% pay cut from the $450,000 he was making. Was Tony Yayo working the ESPN Tower, man? I don't know all this, you know? I guess he's reading it. I don't know. I wasn't really that interested in the story. I knew that Ariel went to there. Yeah, Outlaw said Steve Kim left ESPN because they would limit what he could write. I heard stories about that. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard things. I hear things, Beeb. You know, what are you going to do? Ariel is woke. He's woke. What are you going to do? Hear things. What are you going to do? All right, guys, but that's it for the news, man. Next week is the 4th of July. Now, we will be here at 7 o'clock, our normal time. By the time we get out of here, you'll still have plenty of time to go do your fireworks and everything, because it's not even – what time does it get dark, like 9?
Yeah, make sure, though, you know, you're not lighting the fireworks. Make sure you're not lighting the fireworks, because that's dangerous and fireworks are illegal.
Fireworks are illegal here in Ohio.
They're
but if you're in Tennessee, if you're in Tennessee, pop them off. If you're in Kentucky, I think pop them off.
Make sure
here in Title Towns, we don't do that kind of stuff.
Don't let your kids light any fireworks. Make sure that you're under adult supervision when you're watching the fireworks.
Yes.
Keep yourself a safe distance away from the fireworks.
Safe distance. That's when you really want to practice social distancing at a higher level. You know what I mean?
Don't get drunk. Don't get drunk in public. Drink responsibly. All right?
I always do.
Is the public service announcement from Beeb Industries.
Beeb Industries, baby. We're straight as an arrow over here. What are you going to do?
That's right. That's right.
That's it, baby. That's how we do things. All right. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see everybody next week for the 4th, baby. Fireworks on that show. We're going to do fireworks on the show.
Happy
fireworks
fourth.
Live on the show next week. How about
free
that?
Hamburgers and hot dogs next week for the first 10 callers.
First 10. Boom. That's it. That's how we're doing it, Beast.